The World Health Organization has revised a benchmark used by the health medical professionals worldwide in caring for women during childbirth, and the fresh guidelines come amid growing concerns about a surge in the cesarean section interventions, which, according to the World Health Agency, could be unnecessarily. So just why is there a sudden surge in the C-sections, and why does this worry the World Health Organization?
As you know, that pregnancy is a very complex issue nowadays. You know, women are going to work, and women are getting married at an older age, and so you find that, you know, the pregnancy is also becoming complex. So sometimes women themselves opt for cesareans, sometimes because of older age, you know, the age limit, and as well as obesity, you know, which comes with age, you know, it becomes a problem with dealing with these patients. So sometimes they opt for cesarean sections, and it makes it very difficult, you know, to define and put them in a particular bracket. The other thing is, you know, sometimes the socioeconomic status of the population, you know, richer people have more access to the hospitals, and so you see that women sometimes of, you know, affluent society, they sometimes, you know, they don't want to bear pain. They don't want to, you know, go through the whole process.
So they opt for the C-section. So is this why the World Health Organization is issuing these new guidelines?
That is one of the reasons. But then sometimes even doctors, you know, they don't have enough time, and they can't go from patient to patient and spend enough time. So when this patient is ready to deliver, he's stuck somewhere else. So sometimes even the health provider or the doctor opts for a cesarean section.
All right.
Because it's just to, as a matter of convenience.
All right.
So what WHO has been saying, that, you know, we should not do unnecessary cesarean sections. We should do it only when it is medically indicated. So that is what we are asking and trying to reemphasize.
Right.
So that is what it's all about.
Right. So in this new guideline, the World Health Organization called for elimination of one of the centimeter per hour benchmark. Can you just simplify for our listeners what this means?
Yeah. Okay. You know, we use some kind of a partograph. It's a thing to measure your cervical dilatations, the descent of your head, and, you know, a numerous other variants that go along with it. And usually we say that when a woman is in active labor and she starts dilating, so we say that every 1 centimeter she should dilate in 1 hour, you know.
Right.
So when it comes to that, from 5 centimeters till full dilatation, it's about 5 hours, or, you know, before it used to be about 10 hour or 14 hour for a single, for the first time pregnancy. But now what we're saying, that sometimes women need a little more time.
All right, to understand, go through the normal delivery process?
Yes. So we're saying don't be in a hurry, because people were following this. And in this partograph, we have something known as an action line and an alert line, you know. So this has to be now 4 hours apart. Before it was 2 hours. We want it now 4 hours apart. And action should not be taken until enough time is given to the woman to completely dilate and deliver. And you will find that quite often women are able to deliver.
But I mean, if they're given the time allowance.
Given the time. So sometimes it goes up to maybe 14, 18 hours. But the thing is, you know, you need to give them a little time to see what's happening.
Yes, so you're saying that the doctors should not hurry. But under what circumstances should a woman be rushed for C-section as a medical intervention?
Yeah. Now, there are various reasons why women should be rushed in for cesarean. One of them is, you know, blood pressure, high blood pressure. She's convulsing. So you want to take her for blood pressure. She's a diabetic, you know, and, you know, their babies are big. And sometimes the baby has already distress in the stomach, you know, so you take them for cesarean section. Sometimes there's obstructed labor, you know. The pelvis is small for the baby, so the baby's head does not come down. And she'd be, you know, having labor for a long time. So in these cases, you know, you need to know when to intervene before it becomes too late. Right. You understand?
Yeah, I do.
So these are some of the issues that we are talking about.
Mm.
Then the others are babies. You know, like sometimes baby just gets distress in the abdomen. You know, the cord is around the neck.
Mm-hmm.
And every time that there's a contraction, you know, the cord also squeezes.
The neck.
And the baby, you know, is not breathing properly. So you need to be aware of these kind of things. The other thing is placental causes. You know, sometimes bleeding due to placenta previa, placenta abruption.
Mm.
You know, all these things can cause very serious damage both to the mother and the baby. So some of these things you have to immediately take. You can't just wait and think about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is the thing.
Right. Doctor, and should there be a limit on C-sections, and who decides on this?
You know, there should be a limit. That is what WHO is saying.
Mm.
Because, you know, if you compare countries, South Sudan, of course, has less than 2%. And, you know, countries, some, you know, like China and, you know, some of the South American countries, they have above 40, sometimes 50%,
mm-hmm.
more than that, you know, cesarean sections. So there should be some kind of, you know, standard.
Right.
For, you know, how much and how far to go.
Mm.
So because of this, WHO came up with a new guideline, and it's known as a Robson's classification. So in that, there are 10 groups, and, you know, all the women are placed in different areas, so that even for me, when I go to the hospital and someone says, oh, this is a, you know, Robson's classification group one, it means she's a single, you know, she's a first-time pregnant woman. She has a, you know, vertex presentation, that is a head presentation.
Right.
She's more than 37 weeks, and she was a spontaneous labor.
Mm-hmm.
So this much I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need to think more about it. And probably she did not progress well.
Right.
And so, you know, time was given, but she didn't progress. So mm-hmm. those kind of things. So this classification, we hope, will be some kind of an indicator to stop people from, you know, purposely doing cesarean sections, because when there is a very strict classification, so I feel that, you know, people will be aware of it. Before, we used to say about 10 to 15%. Studies at in, you know, 1985 and 1990s, I mean, they indicated that this was a good percentage to keep in mind. So although we are saying that is not relevant now, but I think it still should be somewhere at the back of your mind, so that you know that, you know, 10 to 15% is a good number.
Right.
But above that, again, studies have shown that above 15%, when cesarean sections are done unnecessarily, that there is no added value to the mother or the baby. So that is why we're saying do not go beyond a certain level, unless it's absolutely medically required.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Finally, before I let you go, Dr. Susie, yeah. any message for expectant mothers regarding choice of delivery?
Yeah. I feel that mothers should go through delivery with an open mind.
Mm.
You know, they shouldn't go that saying, you know, oh, it's going to be painful. It's going to be, you know, very terrible. You know, but if they go with an open mind and say whatever happens, happens kind of a thing, and be prepared for it. The other thing is stay near a hospital. This is what I keep telling even mothers that are out in the Payams and all, to come near a hospital area, you know, some relative or friends, and stay near there. Try to get delivered by a skilled birth attendant. And of course, you must plan for your delivery.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. quite often women are, you know, they take it like it's a normal, like eating and, you know, that sort of a thing, that, you know, your day-to-day things.
Mm.
But sometimes you need to think ahead and plan. No two pregnancies are the same. That
right.
is one thing that mm-hmm. a woman should understand. Maybe three deliveries, you had perfect deliveries.
But you may be, you know, surprised in the fourth.
On the fourth one, you understand.
Mm.
So it's always nice to be near a hospital, because, you know, if there's a there's bleeding, it takes at least about 2 hours. Sometimes even 2 hours, a mother can even pass away.
Right.
You understand.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're out in the village and you wait for the night, you know, and you don't get vehicle, you don't have money, you know, things can be a problem.
Oh, yeah.
So I always say for each pregnancy, be prepared. The other thing I wanted to tell health providers also
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, they should be conversant with the new guidelines that WHO has put out.
Mm.
The other thing is they shouldn't be in a hurry you know, to take patients for cesarean. They should be very well, they should be able to assess their patients well. They should be able to know when to intervene, and they should know when to have a surgical intervention.
Right.
You understand? So that is what I would say.
Mm.
And to the government, of course, I say that we need more skilled birth attendants, right down to the PHCCs.
Mm.
So if this is all taken care of, I think our country will do well.
Right. Dr. Susie,
yes.
Thank you so much for your
thank
time.
You. Thank you.